My message today, of course, as you can see, is entitled In Noah's Day. And if you'll turn in your Bibles now to Matthew 24 and also Luke 17, if you have a bookmark or a thumb, or maybe your strong pinky finger, maybe you could use it to mark Luke 17. We're going to go into Matthew 24 first. And we're going to look at what Jesus said about the days of Noah and how there's a connection between that time and the way it will be shortly before the second coming of our Lord. Also, we're going to look at our time today and see if there are similarities. And quite frankly, this is a portion of scripture that has confused me for a long time and raised a lot of questions. So we'll get into that. But starting in Matthew 24, beginning in verse 37, our key verse of the day. For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark. And they were unaware, or they simply did not know, as it says, until the flood came and swept them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man. Now, I want to make a point here at first. Who is speaking here? Jesus. Jesus is the one speaking. And what does he say? Well, he says that Noah entered the ark. Now, all evolutionists deny a global flood. Did you know that? All evolutionists deny a global flood. They have to. Because they know that if there was a global flood, it would have laid down the fossil layers, not millions of years of slow deposition. So what about all the Christians who believe in evolution? Do they realize that in a sense they're calling Jesus a liar? Now, some of them might say that just because Jesus mentions Noah, that doesn't mean he was saying the flood was global. But they also like to say that when God tells Noah that he's going to destroy the whole world, that he only meant the world of Noah's day. In other words, just that particular area. The only problem with this line of reasoning is that it makes no sense whatsoever. And it just shows how desperate some Christians can become to compromise the Bible with evolution. Let me show you what I mean. Jesus said that Noah entered the ark. That ark was huge. Well, why would he need an ark for a local flood? Why would God need Noah to do that when all he had to do was tell him that a big flood was coming to the area and that Noah needed to move? Jesus also said that the flood came and swept them all away. Why couldn't the people just retreat from the rising floodwaters and go somewhere else? Why did God send male and female representatives of all the animal kinds that lived on dry land? Why did he send them to the ark? Again, all they had to do was flee to higher ground. Not only that, but most of the animals already lived in areas far away from the ark, and they wouldn't have been affected at all by what was happening. So why do I go to the trouble to make this point? Because if the flood is only a local one, then there's no point whatsoever for this passage. None. It all falls apart because there is no judgment involved, and the coming judgment is what this is all about. Verse 40. Then two men will be in the field. One will be taken and one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and one left. Now, a lot of people say, oh, that's the rapture of the church. No, it's not. If you look at the context, what's before and what's after, this is not talking about the rapture of the church. Actually, this is talking about the sheep and goats judgment right after the second coming of Christ. Now, that word taken, the Greek word for that is called paralambano, P-A-R-A-L-A-M-B-A-N-O. And it means to receive unto oneself intimately. And so Jesus is taking these people to himself, okay? And then this other word, the word left, is aphiemi, A-P-H-I-E-M-I. It means to lay aside or forsake or suffer or yield up, or in some cases, divorce from. So he's leaving these others aside. Actually, they're going to be going into the outer darkness. They will not be allowed into the kingdom. Now, this word aphiemi can also mean forgive, but that doesn't match the context here. Again, this is talking about the sheep and goats judgment, which we'll get to a little bit later on. Verse 42, therefore, stay awake. Now, that's interesting. Stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Now, again, many people quote this verse when talking about the rapture of the church, the one I just read. The Son of Man is coming in an hour you don't expect. But this has nothing to do with the rapture. It's wrong to take one verse and lift it out of context like that. In this context, it's clearly talking about the second coming of Christ. Now, if you take that pinky and move it over to Luke 17, we'll read Luke's version of it, a little bit different. Luke 17, verse 26. Just as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be in the days of the Son of Man. They were eating and drinking and marrying and being given in marriage until the day when Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. And then look at 28. Likewise, just as it was in the days of Lot, they were eating and drinking, buying and selling, planting and building. So this is additional things. It wasn't just marrying and giving in marriage, eating and drinking, buying and selling, planting and building. In other words, they were planning for the future. Verse 29, but on the day when Lot went out from Sodom, fire and sulfur rained from heaven and destroyed them all. And so it will be on the day when the Son of Man is revealed. You see, on that day, there's going to be a great massacre. The armies of the world who face the Messiah will be destroyed, and then judgment will follow that. Verse 31, on that day, let the one who is on the housetop with his goods in the house not come down to take them away, and likewise let the one who is in the field not turn back. Remember Lot's wife. Now, in these examples, the people were unaware of what was coming. Jesus is warning those who will be alive at this time to not suffer the same fate. Verse 33, whoever seeks to preserve his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life will keep it. Now, this talks about how people respond and how they behave, how they act during the tribulation period. There's going to be great pressure on them to renounce Christ. There's going to be great pressure on them at one point to take the mark of the beast. There's going to be great pressure on them to bow down and worship the Antichrist. For those of you who studied studied Daniel and studied Revelation, if you remember from your study of Revelation, the fifth seal that was broken was all about the martyrs. There's going to be a multitude of people martyred for their faith. And when they die, they go right up to the altar of God in heaven. And they're complaining to God, saying, when are you going to avenge our deaths? And God says, wait a little while, because there's more of you coming in. Now, the fifth seal is in Revelation 6, 9 through 11, if you want to write that down. That's where we find that. And then that second wave of martyrs that comes in is in Revelation 12, verse 11, talks about them. And then after they are martyred, then you see a torrent of judgment come down. Okay, Revelation 16, you don't need to go there, but Revelation 16, 15 says, behold, I am coming like a thief. Blessed is the one who stays awake, keeping his garments on, that he may not go about naked and be seen exposed. In verse 16, and they assembled them at the place that in Hebrew is called Armageddon. Armageddon, the last battle, the last war, the one at the end of the tribulation period. Again, we're talking about the second coming of Christ. So again, look at this. How many times have I said this? Stay awake, be ready, be prepared, watch. Maintain your righteousness, which is represented by the garments. The clothes in that context represents the righteousness, something that a covering. So you can see a common thread here. He repeatedly warns the people to be prepared, to be alert, to be ready. You see, right now, in this age of grace, Jesus' grace maintains our righteousness if we're Christians. We are covered by his blood, and God the Father does not see our sins. Also, Jesus is our intercessor, declaring us innocent of any future sins we might commit. See, therefore, those sins cannot condemn us. Now, sins that we don't confess can affect our intimacy, can affect our relationship with God. But here, this message for the people living at this time is totally different, okay? These people have missed the rapture. These people are living through the tribulation period. They're under all kinds of pressure. These people have to be ready for the physical return of Jesus Christ. At this time, he's going to defeat all the armies of the world, everybody that opposes him, and then after that, he's going to judge everybody else who remains alive. Now, some people will be tossed into the outer darkness and eventually into the lake of fire, while others are going to be rewarded by being allowed to enter into the millennial kingdom, 1,000-year kingdom that the Bible talks about in Revelation 20. All this will be based on how they maintain their faithfulness, which is evidenced by their works. So knowing all this, what does this have to do with Jesus' statement that these days would be similar to the days of Noah? Boy, that's quite an introduction, isn't it? What makes them so similar in the attitude of the people? You see, in the days of Noah, people were indifferent to what Noah was doing. They paid no attention. They were doing all the normal things of life, and they were planning for the future like they didn't have a care in the world. Remember, in Matthew 24, verse 39, it says, and they were unaware until the flood came. They didn't know until the flood came. And what do we have today? Yesterday, as I was thinking about this message, I went to Family Dollar to pick up something, and I was driving through the parking lot on my way out, and I had to slow down for a guy who had an earpiece in his ear and was looking down at his phone as he almost walked right in front of me. I read the other day where some teenagers average 9 hours a day on social media on their phones. And if they're not texting, they're playing interactive video games. And it's not just teenagers. Some of them are in another world, and they have no idea what's going on in the real world. So I used to read this passage and wonder how people could be doing normal routine things when there was all this chaos going on around them in the world. But it seems like the common people in our country today are the most distracted, the most assuming, the most gullible that we've ever had. They are also the most detached from reality. And I don't see things getting any better in the near future. If we have this kind of populace in our world, in the world during the tribulation, it's no wonder that Jesus is warning them to be ready, to watch, to keep up their guard. Wake up and smell the coffee. He prophesied that the kind of attitude that's exhibited by these people would be the same as that of the people in Noah's day, who disregarded all of Noah's preaching, all of his warnings, and just went about their business totally blind to what was going on. Now, this is very interesting. In Matthew 25, Jesus even gives examples of what the consequences will be for those who do not pay attention, who do not maintain their faith, who allow themselves to be distracted. The parable of the 10 virgins is concerned with being ready, with five of them missing the appointed time. Remember, they ran out of oil, and they were denied entrance into the kingdom. The parable of the talents relates to destinies of three men with different gifts, and two of the three remain faithful, and they're rewarded, while the third does nothing and is cast out. Finally, the sheep and goats judgment chronicles the fate of two distinctly different groups of people who are judged according to their works or lack of. So chapter 25 helps explain Jesus' prophecy. You see, that was the whole point of chapter 25, to better explain chapter 24 and what he meant by that. So as we look at the signs of the times and compare what's happening today in our society to biblical prophecy, we see many things that make us wonder about the closeness of the time. For instance, Daniel tells us that in the last days, many will run to and fro and knowledge will increase. So now we have automobiles, we have airplanes. Thanks to computers, knowledge is doubling now at faster and faster rates. I tried to look this up. There's nothing definitive on that. But they said in 1900 that knowledge would double in the next 100 years. And then when it got to be 2000, it was going to double in the next year or so. Now they say all the knowledge in the world doubles every 12 hours. I don't know if that's true or not. But at any rate, with computers, with artificial intelligence, it's doubling at an incredible rate. Technology has advanced to the point that events in different parts of the world can be seen by anyone with a smartphone or a computer or a TV. So the whole world witnessing the fate of the two witnesses in Revelation is now easily accomplished. Everybody would be able to see them. Our computer databases and artificial intelligence also make the implementation of the mark of the beast a reality, right? They could do that now. They could track everybody in the world. I think I've mentioned this before, but I have a little thing on my phone, and like the end of the month, it'll say, this is what you did during the month of September. This is where you went. This is where you ate. This is where you shopped. This is how long you were there. Now, they don't know that I was there, but they know my phone was. My phone's with me, so what the difference, you know. But the thing is, they can track people. But today, I could leave my phone at home, and I can go, and they can't track me. But what happens when you have something on your skin? You can't do that. And so they'll be able to track people. And we have that technology today to do it. So here we have a statement by Jesus as to the indifference of a society that's beset by judgments. A society mostly consisting of non-religious people who have trouble discerning fantasy from reality. Anybody ever see, I mentioned this before, anybody ever see the movie The Matrix? Yeah, they had these people hooked up to machines living in a computer simulation world while they were taking energy, actually taking energy from their bodies and using up their bodies over a long period of time. People didn't know, have any clue what was going on. They were living in this other world, in this fantasy world. So what we are seeing right now with so many people, how they seem to be in their own little world, is itself a sign. That is a sign that the end is near. And if that's near, then the rapture is that much closer. Now, you might think about that the next time you see a young person texting as they cross a busy street. To quote the late great Bible teacher Jack Kelly, one of my favorites, he would say this at the end of every article he wrote. He would say, you can almost hear the footsteps of the Messiah. Let's pray. Dear Lord, it's amazing to see that even today, the nature of some of the people today in our society is a sign that the end is near. But only you know, dear Lord, when that is. And it's our job to keep going as if we have 100 years. It's our job to keep going, to keep witnessing, to not sit on a mountaintop and wait for these things to happen. It's our job to be emboldened and inspired and excited about what is going on today. It should make us even more determined to get your word out. And again, dear Lord, we certainly pray that if there's anyone here today that doesn't know you, and I don't know one way or the other about that, Lord, but you do, that they would either come today and have a relationship with you and start a relationship with you, or perhaps even in the comfort of their own home or in their own prayer closet, that they could come to know you and accept your Son as personal Savior and Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.